wondered if Izzy had carved this from reference or simply his imagination. He'd come here to throw it into the sea before Steed or, holy hell, Lucius spotted it, but now that he was looking at it in the sunlight, it seemed a shame to toss such a sculpture overboard. He'd paid for it after all, and it was a good example of craftsmanship. Hi everyone, Carly Heath here. You know, this podcast has now long surpassed the point where our runtime is longer than the runtime of both seasons of Our Flag Means Death, and that kind of trips me out. Like, I'm super proud of all of us involved that we've managed to stay consistent, but it's also, it makes me sad thinking about something that's generated so much art and love isn't being permitted by capitalism to continue. But I'm continuing. On this week's appetizer, I'm narrating my most popular fic. It's light, it's fluffy. This is Whittle Me This, which is about Ed's attempt to make things up to Lucius. Whittling doesn't work. He tries other things. It eventually leads to them being attacked by the English Navy. Izzy is alive throughout this whole thing. I imagine this is taking place in season 3 after Izzy has crawled out of the grave and Steed and Ed have reunited on the Revenge. And by the way, if you're curious about seeing my version of season 3 that happens before this fic, check out season 3, This Is How It Could Be. And by the way, I'm Yavid _ Jenkins on AO3. In total, this fic, Whittle Me This, is 12 chapters and about 19,000 words. How many chapters will I read of this today? Maybe one, maybe three, I don't know. As you can tell, I'm recording this intro before I actually read the fic, because that's how I do. If you're enjoying the content put out by the Our Flag Means Fanfiction podcast, give us a rating and even a review. It shows the world that Our Flag still has an audience in whatever medium it exists in. And hey, we have listeners in 33 countries now. And if you'd like to narrate a fic for an upcoming appetizer, do that. Get the author's permission first and make sure the runtime is less than 60 minutes, and then send the audio file to ourflagmeansfanfiction@gmail.com. And everyone, be sure to follow Our Flag Means Fanfiction on Instagram @ourflagmeansfanfiction, all one word. And this is Whittle Me This by Yavid Jenkins. Whittle Me This, Chapter 1, Ed. The blood had pooled into a shape that resembled romaine lettuce, and Steed had finally stopped screaming, which made Ed release a long exhale as he packed the towels around the other man's foot. Steed Bonnet must have had excellent circulation because the wound really did keep gushing for quite a while. "Sorry, love," Ed said, feeling genuinely awful as he applied pressure to the injury. This was now the fourth time it happened, a fact that made Ed's shoulders droop with even more shame. "We'll do a better job next time of sweeping up those splinters." Steed continued grimacing as he glanced in the direction of his desk where Ed had placed a row of half-finished objects, beneath which was a pile of wood shavings and the jagged-edged wood particles that had blown across the floor. "Looks like you've been making a lot of progress with your whittling. Are those..." His brow furrowed. "Dicks?" Ed frowned. "Holy fuck, they do look like dicks, don't they?"
No, sort of. Are they dicks?"
"No."
"Then no, they don't look like dicks at all, not in the least. They're some sort of pipes then, aren't they?"
Steed really was being far too considerate. "They're supposed to be horses," Ed replied.
"Oh."
And then, "Have you ever seen a horse before, Ed?" Ed shut his eyes, inhaling deeply. He knew Steed didn't intend that question to sound so condescending, but maybe that's what he deserved, some kind of scolding. His progress on learning this new craft was pathetic, and perhaps the right amount of humiliation would inspire his hands to make better stuff. Steed lowered himself to the floor and knelt by Ed, helping to mop up that ever-increasing blood puddle.
I was only asking because that'd be something interesting we haven't talked about before. Equestrianism. I imagine one doesn't come across many horses at sea.
Seahorses, Ed said, just to keep Steed from saying more and making him feel worse. Maybe that's what I'll try next time. Seahorses. I won't have to bother with the list.
Steed cocked his head, a terribly sympathetic look on his face that made Ed feel somehow even more pathetic. What was Ed even doing messing up Steed's cabin with wood chips and splinters? He'd now caused 4 injuries to Steed's lower extremities. And for what? A row of wooden objects that kept resembling genitalia? Steed scooted closer, hands clasped earnestly between his knees. Why have you become so passionate about this woodworking?
No reason, Ed said, his tongue feeling dry as he watched the blood on the floor spread into the grayness of the towels. Just something to do.
There's lots one could do on a ship. Barrel making, net knotting. You could play an instrument.
I like whittling.
You don't like whittling. That startled Ed.
How do you know I don't like whittling?
Because you've been cursing nonstop while you do it. In fact, you've come up with some new, incredibly creative things to holler. God's ass shit. Yes, I like that one a great deal. But you've also been bleeding a lot. Perhaps more than I've been, so why are you whittling if all it does is make you curse and bleed?
Ed went silent, then dropped his gaze to his thumbs, which were laced with scabs. He really wished Steed would stop looking at him like that, all puppy-eyed and concerned.
I like cursing and bleeding. I'm a pirate.
Steed continued staring at him.
Does it have to do with Lucius?
Ed felt his face heat. If Steed were still looking at him, he'd probably notice Ed's cheeks were turning the color of the Madeira wine they'd acquired on their most recent raid.
Could it be, Steed was clearly making an effort to sound casual, that you notice 2 of Lucius's most beloved possessions are the finger Pete whittled for him, and then the shark Izzy whittled for him, and maybe...
Ed wiped his mouth on his sleeve, hoping that would hide his growing bashfulness. This was, of course, one of the many reasons he loved Steed, how he could observe things and gently speak of them. Ed hurried to gather the blood-soaked towels. He and Steed didn't need to be talking about Lucius, not now.
Ed, Steed stood quickly before Ed had the chance to escape through the door. I know you want to do something for Lucius to make it all up to him, but your way doesn't have to be Pete and Izzy's way. It can be something different, something that comes from your unique gifts.
Ed nodded, his mortification reaching exponential heights.
Maybe tonight we can come up with some ideas together, Steed proposed.
Before sunset, Ed headed to Izzy's room, 2 gold doubloons jangling in his pocket. Izzy was reclined back on his mattress, sewing up the knee of his trousers by lantern light.
Is it ready yet? Ed asked, trying not to sound rude.
Available upon receipt of payment.
Ed tossed him the doubloons, and Izzy reached under his pillow and chucked him an object slightly smaller than the wood block Ed had given him that afternoon. Ed shifted it in his hands, looked at it. His heart sank.
God damn it, why do you have to carve me a dick?
Over on his bed, Izzy was cackling.
When you requested I whittle you something, I asked if there was anything specific you wanted.
Wincing, Ed recalled the idiotic answer he'd given.
Don't care, just make it realistic.
He punched the door jamb.
You want something else? Izzy asked with a smirk. Something non-genital?
That'll be another 2 doubloons.
Fuck you, Izzy.
Ed stood at the bow, holding the exceptionally realistic penis Izzy had carved for him. It was erect, veiny. On one side, there were balls with details indicating hair. Ed wondered if Izzy had carved this from reference or simply his imagination. He'd come here to throw it into the sea before Steed or... hell. Lucius spotted it, but now that he was looking at it in the sunlight, it seemed a shame to toss such a sculpture overboard. He'd paid for it after all, and it was a good example of craftsmanship. He could probably learn from Izzy's approach to things.
I see you're still practicing your whittling.
Ed turned with a start, tossing the wooden dick as he did.
Fuck. It was Steed, and Lucius at his side. Ed's stomach plummeted into his shoes. What the fuck were they doing here? Steed bent down to pick up the wood dick because, of course, it had bounced off the rail and landed at his feet.
You've achieved so much more realism in the last few hours.
Now Ed's face was probably as red as Steed's blood-stained sock. And then, because the whole universe was conspiring to plunge Ed into the deepest depths of horror and embarrassment, Steed handed the wooden phallus to Lucius.
He's been working on his whittling for days, Steed said, oblivious to how Lucius was only touching the dick with the tips of his fingers. He's really trying.
Trying what exactly? Lucius asked, nose wrinkling. Now Ed was contemplating how quickly he could end his life by leaping overboard.
Trying to make it up to you, Steed offered brightly. He's been spending hours and hours on it. This gift for you.
Jesus Christ. Shifting his jaw, Lucius met Ed's eyes. Why do you make me a wooden penis?
It's not a penis, Steed said, apparent pride lifting his shoulders. It's a horse.
Ed scrubbed his face as though mortification could be peeled away with his own fingers.
This is not a horse, Lucius said.
Sure it is, Steed said brightly. I mean, it's certainly not a penis.
No, it's definitely a penis, Ed confessed, because clearly Lucius was using his own eyes to see the thing, unlike Steed, who was using some version of politeness mixed with imagination.
And I didn't whittle it myself. I paid Izzy to whittle it.
Lucius blinked. Why did you pay Izzy to whittle me a wooden penis?
I paid him to whittle you something good that I could then give you so you'd stop hating me.
But I made the mistake of not specifying what I wanted whittled, so Izzy made me a penis.
Lucius brought the object up to eye level.
Is this Izzy's penis? Did he carve it from reference?
I don't know. Ed pressed his knuckles deep into his eye sockets.
Probably.
Everything went still and silent for a long time. Only the cawing of gulls contributing to the conversation.
When Ed opened his eyes again, he found Steed's cheeks to be the color of strawberry jam.
Lucius continued turning the dick over in his hands, studying it from various angles.
This is actually my favorite thing. Lucius's eyes were alight with glee.
Really? Ed asked, hopeful.
Lucius gripped the shaft reverently. This Izzy dick is definitely my favorite thing of all the things.
Yes, Ed beamed.
Does this mean you no longer hate me?
The scribe's grin widened.
Yes, I hate you, Ed. Jesus, you haven't once apologized. You've never attempted to find out anything about what I've been through, and all you care about is trying to make things go back to the way they were before, but you aren't willing to actually do any of the emotional labor required to make anything better.
Ed felt his lips drop open. Beyond Lucius's shoulder, Steed was mouthing, "Say you're sorry! Say you're sorry!
You're sorry!" Ed stammered. I mean, I'm sorry.
Lucius snapped his gaze back to Steed, who was quickly running his fingers through his hair.
"I'm sorry, Lucius," Ed said louder, as if that might make it mean more. "I'm sorry I pushed you off the ship and left you to die, and you had to watch another crew eat a rat terrier, and then you had to catch rats in your teeth."
Stop! Lucius threw his hands.
Stop saying things, Ed. None of them are helping, not at all. And do you know why?
Why?
Because you don't really care. You don't care what's going on inside me. And he faced Steed again. You don't care either. Both of you just want things to go back to normal, but you don't care what any of it means for the person who's been through absolute shit because of you two.
Ed glanced from his wringing hands to Steed, who was looking as shamefaced as Ed felt. Everything Lucius said was the absolute truth. Ed nodded. My desire to make things normal is greater than my desire to care about you.
Lucius squeezed his eyes shut and nodded.
clutching the dick to his chest. Then, appearing to think better of it, he moved it to a more normal position at his side. Steed released a long breath, leaning back against the wall as he did. They both had to have had the same realization at that moment, that they were both, well, assholes. "I'm sorry," Ed said, his voice dropping to a whisper. "There's not going to be anything I can say in the next few minutes or days or weeks to make it better, but I'm sorry, truly, and I'm going to work on being better, and I get it, normal is no longer the goal here. The goal here is Lucius." By the wall, Steed was nodding. "Yes, the goal is Lucius." Lucius's throat bobbed, the lines of his features especially severe in the lowering light. "Do you two even know what you're saying? Or are you just saying words that sound like they mean things?" Ed sent a searching look to Steed and noticed Steed was searching right back at him. They didn't have the answer, and neither of them seemed to know what to say next. "All right, well, thanks for the wooden carving of Izzy's dick," Lucius said. "I know that sounded sarcastic, but I really do like it, so..." Turning, he escaped through the little door. Swallowing deeply, Ed slumped to Steed's side and folded against him. "How does one learn not to be an asshole? How to, like, care about other people?" Steed brought his arms around Ed's shoulders, the feel of them warm and satisfying. "You care about me, right?" Ed nodded into Steed's neck. "Well then," Steed said, as if that were a response that would lead to any conclusions for Ed. "What if I'm only capable of caring about one person, though?" Ed asked. The prospect was actually making Ed's guts feel painful. So painful, he thought he might puke. "What if there's something broken in me that makes me so I don't have enough? So there's not enough caring to go around?" Steed's fingers descended in rhythmic strokes through Ed's scalp. "I think we both came from worlds that didn't encourage us to use our hearts in the way they ought to be used. But I think we can get better at it. I think we can practice." Ed snuggled deeper into Steed's chest. "When I practiced whittling, it just led to a lot of cursing and bleeding." "Does that mean you're going to give up?" He closed his arms around Steed's waist and brought them both downward so they could both rest entangled together on the deck. "I think I'm going to give up whittling." "But what about the other thing?" Ed drew in a long breath. Steed smelled deeply of juniper and orange peel, the fragrance making Ed's eyelids feel heavy, his heart full. "I want to make Lucius the goal," Ed said, "even if I don't really know what those words mean." "I think you do know what those words mean, even if they're a bit hard to translate into a streamlined explanation." Ed stroked Steed's hair and kissed his cheek, the feel of his heart suddenly sun-warmed and tender. He did know what it meant, that thing about Lucius being the goal. It meant his focus was shifting and it would be a conscious thing. It'd take time, but what mattered wasn't Ed anymore. What mattered was making things right. Chapter 2. Steed. That evening's raid of a merchant ship had been especially successful. Their plunder included Flemish and Italian oil paintings, Persian miniatures, Burma gems, and so many fabrics and furnishings. Steed's chest filled with pride over how efficiently his crew had contained the English seamen, disabled their vessel, and transported their winnings. After everyone brought the loot aboard, Roach had a dozen plates of maple bourbon banana pudding cake brought out to celebrate their achievement. Steed probably should have noticed something amiss as soon as Ed refused to take a plate, one of the best dishes Roach had ever made. Confirmation of Ed's distress came when Frenchie, finished with his cake, scurried over to a particularly large chinoiserie trunk. "I call dibs on whatever's in here," Frenchie shouted. Ed's face immediately went lava red, apparent fury contorting his features.
"No one calls dibs on shit."
The volume of Ed's shout made Steed's veins go cold. Ed stomped to the trunk and slammed his foot on it before it could be opened. "Not until Lucius picks out what he wants." Steed grabbed hold of a nearby Swedish Rococo bookshelf for support. What in heavens had gotten into Ed? The rest of the crew seemed to be as struck silent as Steed. Eyes wide, they each turned from Ed to Lucius, who, now wearing the Izzy Dick on a holster hanging from his belt, became as frozen and still as many of the statues they'd just brought aboard. Obviously unaware of the discomfort that overcome the ship's scribe, Ed opened the lid of an even larger chest. In it were countless doubloons, gems, and jewels. "Just look at these, Lucius. You could take the whole blasted thing if you want. Imagine." He lifted handfuls of chains made of precious metals. "Wearing shit like this all day like a goddamn king." The crew remained, thankfully silent, as Ed scooped up piles of rings, bracelets, and necklaces, bringing them to Lucius, actually filling the scribe's pockets and forcing rings onto his fingers. All right, this was getting out of hand. Archie threw down the crate she was holding. "I don't understand why Lucius gets the good stuff. He didn't even help out with the raid." Silently, Olawande put up his palms, shushing her. Lucius was already removing the ruby bracelets from his wrists. We're shushing now?" Archie asked, outraged. "I'm just asking a reasonable question." "Lucius gets whatever he wants," Ed shouted, "and there will be no arguments." This was not going well at all. Demurely, Steed crept to Ed's side and put a gentle grasp on his elbow. Ed spun around and pointed at Frenchie. "Don't even think about touching that waistcoat until Lucius tries it first." "Jesus, Ed, get a hold of yourself, man." Ed faced Steed, eyes wild. "Captain's meeting," Steed said, perhaps more firmly than he intended. "In the cabin, now." "No one takes Lucius's shit," Ed said. Steed wanted to wring the man's neck. "It's not Lucius's shit, and you know it." "It is. He gets whatever he wants. These are the rules. This is what we talked about." Couldn't Ed see how mortified the young fellow was? "This isn't what we talked about," Steed said, quieter. "You know this." "But," Ed flailed his hands, "Lucius is the goal." Buckles jangling, Izzy sauntered over, his expression a mixture of boredom and impishness. "Edward, I will ensure there's no divvying up the plunder until your captain's meeting is concluded. Now I suggest you take this discussion into your quarters." Gratitude for Izzy's existence was a strange emotion, but Steed was slowly getting used to it. Tightening the grip on Ed's arm, he guided his co-captain into the cabin. As things usually went when emotions were heightened and privacy acquired, they ended up mostly undressed and thoroughly entangled. Ed was damp all over and panting by the time Steed had put his thoughts together, settling atop Ed's chest and tucking a silver-black wave behind Ed's ear. Steed met Ed's heavy-lidded gaze. "We'll give Lucius his own room. We'll provide him with whatever he needs to furnish it. And as we acquire more plunder, you can sneak it down to Lucius's quarters, and that way he can decide what he wants within the privacy of his own space." Ed frowned. "So you're saying I embarrassed him?" Oh dear, this beautiful man. He clearly had a delayed reaction when it came to reading people's emotions. Steed understood a bit about that. Figuring out the dynamics of a social situation had been something Steed was forced to learn if he was to survive upper-class society, but it hadn't come easily. Steed landed a light peck near Ed's ear. "I'm saying I love your sentiment. I love your idea. I love that you want to give Lucius the world. We're just making a slight adjustment to your plan because it probably isn't a good idea to draw too much attention to the fact that Lucius is no longer doing any physical labor or going on raids, yet he'll be getting whatever he wants from the loot." Ed worked his mouth, almost pouting as he did. "The crew should be more sympathetic to what Lucius has been through." "That's a very good point, Ed. But then again, they've been through a lot as well. And they might be wondering when they'll start getting some of the pampering Lucius is getting."
"None of them got tossed overboard, though."
Resting his face in the crook of Ed's neck, Steed drew his nails down the delicious length of Ed's torso. "They faced potential death, fear, stress, emotional dysregulation. You face that too, as a matter of fact." Steed wasn't sure what conclusions he was reaching. He was just finding his way through his thoughts. "Maybe we should be thinking about that, about all of them. But I thought Lucius was the goal. The frustration in Ed's voice was growing increasingly apparent.
You agreed with me. You said Lucius was the goal too.
As with all piracy, the goal must be flexible. Was that a principle of piracy? Steed wasn't quite sure. So yes, the goal is Lucius, and the goal is also the whole ship, all the crew, the balance.
Ed's face changed. He looked like a man suddenly confronted by a charging rhinoceros.
I have to care about more than two people now?
Steed swallowed, regretting the fact that he just overwhelmed the man.
Ed tugged at his hair. I have to care about, like, how many are on this crew anyway? Like five?
Well, 13 if you're including me and Lucius and also Sweet and Buttons.
Ed covered his face, the prospect clearly too much to process.
If it helps any, Steed gave Ed's bicep a squeeze. It's not as though you have to think about them all the time, and hey, I'll be here to provide helpful reminders.
There was a knock at the door.
Just a minute.
Steed stumbled out of bed and pulled on his shirt. Ed struggled to wiggle back into his own leather trousers, and Steed helped him.
You know what? I'm gonna do it.
Do what? Steed asked, lingering his touch along the appealing curve of Ed's hip bone.
I'm really gonna start caring about people, Ed buttoned his fly. I'm gonna care about this whole bloody crew, and everyone of them is gonna know how much I care about them.
Steed rocked back onto his heels, not quite sure how he should be reacting to such a declaration. If Ed's newfound conviction for caring about the crew was anything like his determination to care about Lucius, things would likely end up somewhat unhinged. Once more or less clothed, Steed opened the door to find Lucius standing at the threshold, the Izzy Dick swinging at his hip, his hands noticeably free of bracelets and gems.
What incredible luck! They'd get this all sorted out at once.
We were just talking about you. Come right in.
Lucius glanced to Ed, who just seemed to realize he'd put his shirt on backwards and was now shimming his arms back into the armholes.
You were having sex and talking about me? Lucius asked.
Actually, Ed brought his hands together. We had sex, and then right afterwards, we started talking about you.
Steed forced a smile. This was going perfectly. Steed broadened his smile.
Ed feels just awful about embarrassing you in front of the crew, but we've come up with a solution. You see, we both believe you should be entitled to certain things because of what you've been through, and
I'm gonna stop you right there. Lucius plunged his hands into his pockets and faced Steed with newfound resolve.
I don't need anything, nothing at all, especially not first dibs on the loot.
We're going to give you your own room, Steed said.
Yeah, I don't need that either. Look, I came here to tell you something. Lucius went to the sofa and sat down.
Judging by the seriousness in Lucius's face, this was all becoming a great deal more grave than Steed had anticipated. He sat across from him, Ed remaining by the mattress. Lucius shuffled his feet on the carpet.
There's no easy way to say this, so here it goes.
Heavens, this was bad.
One of Pete's old crewmates was on that ship we raided, Lucius said. Says merchant shipping is bullshit and wants to get back into piracy again. Says he's been saving up a lot of money and he has enough to buy some cannons, refit that merchant ship. The plan is to dump their captain off in Florida somewhere and then start using this merchant ship for piracy. He and Pete are old friends and Pete wants to join him, so I guess I want to join him.
Steed's stomach felt like it had sunk all the way to the bottom of the ocean floor.
Lucius wanted to leave the Revenge?
The hollow, aching despair of that prospect knotted Steed's insides. Despite their recent conflicts, he did have such fondness for the fellow. What would life be like on the ship without him?
But Lucius, Steed stammered to find his words. You've now been on other ships. You know how the dynamic out there can be so different than what we have here on the Revenge.
Are you sure you'd be happy?
A flicker of what looked like doubt wafted over Lucius's expression. Pete likes this man. I trust Pete. I want to be with Pete. It was almost like Lucius was trying to convince himself of something.
Will they expect you to work? Steed asked. You know, if you stay here, you won't ever be expected to work.
Lucius rose to his feet at once, startling Steed so much he nearly tumbled off the ottoman. I've made up my mind, Lucius said, chin lifting despite the fact that Steed was seated beneath him. I'm going with them. The only thing to be worked out is whether I'll stay on their ship now while they get it operational again, or if Pete and I will meet them in the Republic of Pirates next week, since that's where they'll be buying their cannons. Steed put his palms together, endeavoring to level his tone and speak slowly.
Stay with us for the week and we'll bring you and Pete to the Republic of Pirates. That'll give us plenty of time to say goodbye.
Lucius's torso swayed slightly despite the fact that the ship remained steady. His eyes were watering. Goodness, this evening had started off feeling so victorious, but now it was a funeral. Standing, Steed put his arms around the fellow, pulled him tight. Lucius stiffened in his employer's embrace.
You mean the world to me. If Lucius was softening, it was hard to tell. You know that.
Steed, you smell like sex.
Right, sorry, Steed pulled away.
Thanks for being understanding, though, Lucius said, making his way to the door. Most captains would just kill another captain that attempted to poach their crew, especially after defeating them in a raid. The scribe looked so terribly glum, he had to have misgivings.
Steed put his hand on his shoulder. I'm glad you came to me, and I hope we can make our final days with you and Pete pleasantly memorable.
Lucius seemed to be avoiding Steed's eyes. He wiped his face, which was noticeably wet. Yeah, Steed, same. And then the door closed and he was gone. Spinning around to face Ed, Steed found him, hunched by the mattress, furiously carving into a small block of wood. Where he'd gotten the wood and the knife in such a short period of time defied Steed's imagination. Steed sucked in a deep breath.
We have 1 week to make Lucius realize leaving the Revenge would be a terrible mistake.
Ed nodded with such enthusiasm Steed feared his head might pop off. Ed had clearly sliced his thumb at some point during his fervent whittling because the wood was turning scarlet. I fucked up by making him uncomfortable, Ed said, his voice shaking and his knife peeling off layer after layer of wood, without regard for the blood that was now streaming. But I'll fix this. I'll make this right.
Should Steed tell Ed to stop whittling? Point out that there was now a rather impressively sized burgundy puddle on the floor? Steed opened his mouth to speak, but found his knees weakening. His body plummeted into a nearby chair. Lucius was making a terrible mistake, one he'd regret for the rest of his life. His home was here. His family was here. More than that, Steed would miss Lucius, and the depths of Steed's despair over that fact made him bring his hand to his heart. We'll both fix this, Steed said, but we need to come up with a plan.
Anything. Whatever you say, I'll do it. Steely resolve made Steed sink his fingers into his thighs, his jaw hardening with determination.
We make Lucius love us. We make him love us as much as we love him.
Still carving the wood and maiming his thumb in the process, Ed continued nodding.
And how do we do that?
Steed flashed his teeth, knowing he likely looked more ferocious than charming.
I know just the thing.
Tell me, Ed said.
We woo him.
Thanks for listening. Check out the link to Whittle Me This on AO3 in the show notes. Drop a comment or kudos if you feel like it. Follow us on Instagram at Our Flag Means Fanfiction, all one word. And tune in next week for our next full episode.
Bye!